Don't betray the people of the Protestant Reformation by not studying the Word of God that they died for, by not holding the Word of God precious in your hearts. Amen? So many Christians today, you don't even know church history. You don't know the price they paid for us just to have a Bible. Do you understand?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, Thyatira, the Corrupt Church. Let's listen in now.
And so in the 1380s, sometime in that time frame, he translated the Bible into English, handwritten, by the way, the Bible translated into English from the Latin, okay? Now, in which that was totally forbidden for anyone to do. And boy, the Catholic Church, they went crazy. So Wycliffe, his Bible, man, it spread like a wildfire, and it started igniting what we call the Protestant Reformation. You know, John Huss, and then, of course, Martin Luther later on. You know, let me read from Wycliffe just a few of his sermons that he, listen, let me just read here. It says from his sermons, he said, "The Holy Eucharist, after the consecration, is not the very body of Christ." They kill you for that. Do you understand? They would kill you for that. He says, "The Church of Rome is not the head of all churches more than any other churches, nor that Peter had any more power given of Christ than any other apostle." He says, "The Pope of Rome hath no more in the keys of the church than any other within the order of the priesthood. The gospel is a rule sufficient of itself to rule the life of every Christian person here without any other rule." We believe that today. "All other rules which under whose observances differs religious persons be governed do not add more perfection to the gospel than doth the color of that wall." I love that too. He says, "Neither the Pope nor any other prelate of the church ought to have prisons where they punish transgressors." Listen, what did the Reformation actually do? You know what it did? Well, beginning with Wycliffe, it brought the Bible back to us. It brought the Bible back to common man. And he printed those out. They went everywhere. There was like a fire that was sent out, loved one. And the Pope, he was so infuriated by his teachings and, of course, the translation of the Bible into English. Now, later, 44 years later, now Wycliffe died, I think it was of a stroke, okay? 44 years after his death, he's buried, okay? You know what the Pope did? You ready? I'm going to read it just like I said. "The Pope ordered his bones to be dug up, crushed, burned, scatter his ashes in the little river Swift." What a word is that? Now let me read what one person wrote. His name, they called him Chronicle Fuller. He says, "Oh, they burnt Wycliffe. They burnt his bones to ashes. They cast him into the Swift, but a neighboring brook running hard by, thus the brook hath conveyed his ashes into the Avon, and the Avon into the Severn, and the Severn into the narrow seas, and they run into the main ocean, and thus the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of his doctrine, which is now dispersed all over the world." What a word. Now listen. You know, you need to be a student of God's Word. Every Christian should have in their library Fox's Book of Martyrs, okay? You should have that and study it out. So it's kind of archaic language in some of it, but you can figure it out. But it's important to have that. Everyone should understand the history of the church and what they did to give us the Word of God. You know, the word Protestant means protester. We protested. Does that make sense? Okay, now, look at verse 21. Jesus says about this Jezebel, he says, "I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality," meaning her spiritual fornication, "and she did not repent." Literally, it's she refused to repent. Can you imagine reading a letter from Jesus Christ and refusing to repent. But you know what this shows me? The love and long-suffering of God, amen? God is so, he wants so much to pardon and not punish. You know, the Bible says in Romans 2:4, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, amen? And God is good. But, you know, she's not going to get another opportunity, okay? He says, indeed, in verse 22, I will cast her into a sick bed, meaning a bed of anguish. And those who commit adultery, that's spiritual fornication, with her into great tribulation, unless they, meaning her followers and her, repent of their, it should read, repent of her deeds or her works. So there's a play on words here. You know, Jezebel liked the bed of immorality, and so she went there often, and now guess what? It's become a bed of sickness. And the Lord says, I will kill her children. That's not what this means. It's not literal kids, okay? In other words, when he says, I will kill her children, he's saying her followers, after the generations that follow and continue to teach this doctrine of hers, he says, with death. Now, Vincent, that Greek scholar, he says the word death there is the second death, which is eternal death, which is eternal separation from God forever and ever. And he says, and all the churches, meaning not only just the seven, but all churches throughout the ages, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. There's not one thing hidden from Jesus. Amen? The church is the lampstand. He walks among the lampstands. He sees, he knows all of our true spiritual condition, loved one. And he says, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you, I say, and the rest in Thyatira, that's that small remnant, as many as do not have this doctrine, the doctrine of Jezebel, and who have not known, or literally who have not explored the depths of Satan. So this woman, this prophetess, she was involved in all kinds of the occult and witchcraft and everything imaginable. So the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. So abstain from those sins. Walk away from all of that. So Jesus is addressing now the faithful Christians, if you will, those that follow the word of God and not follow Jezebel because they reject it. And I want you to see that it says it's not the deep things of God, and Jesus himself uses it, not the deep things of God, but the deep things of Satan. That's what she was teaching. So what does the Lord tell them to do? A command, verse 25. He says, but hold fast what you have till I come. So that literally is present tense in the Greek, so it would be keep holding fast. Keep holding fast. To what? The truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word. We're to do the same thing, amen? In other words, what did Jesus say in John 8:32? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 17:17, Jesus said, Thy Word, O God, is truth. Now, notice how long they have to hold fast. It says, till I come. Now, this is the first time in any of the letters that Jesus here is mentioning his return, if you will. And this is not the second coming. This is the rapture here he's speaking of, okay? So he gave the command, and now he gives the promises. In verse 26, he says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works, now that's in contrast to Jezebel's works, until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Now, we've already learned who an overcomer is, amen? An overcomer are those who believe in Jesus Christ. And if you are truly born again, you are an overcomer. 1 John 5, 4 and 5, amen? All right, now, and so he says here, keeps my works. Did you know that's the only phrase like that in the New Testament? So what does it mean? It literally means the works of those, he says, you keep because they are my commands. So we keep his commands. And look what he says again about the promise. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also received from my Father. So here the Lord is including a messianic psalm, actually, from Psalm 2. It's Psalm 2, okay? Messianic psalm. But when he uses the word rule there, that word literally means you will be shepherding, it says, with a rod and iron. Now, so this judgment here occurs, as we already know, at the second coming of Christ. And we know that the church, we will, the saints of God, we will be returning from heaven to earth for the 1,000-year reign with our Lord. Amen? That's Revelation 19, 11, and following. Now, so he says, during that time, man's rebellion is finally going to be put to an end. They're going to be ruled with a rod of iron. And the people are going to be so fragile, they're going to break into pieces if they rebel, okay? And then he says, the promise continues, and I will give him, the overcomer, I will give him the morning star. Do you ever see the morning star in the east? Remember, you know, and before it gets light, if you ever looked at Venus, that's what, you know, that's the brightest of all the planets, and you can see it out there. Sometimes you see it in the evening, don't you? We call that the evening star. Now, but here he says, I will give him the morning star. What is that? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus says this. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify or to bear witness to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So what is he saying? He's saying, what does the morning star do? It announces that the day is about to start. The dawn is coming. Amen? And so Jesus is saying here, hold on. Hold fast. There is a new day that's coming. Oh, and that's going to be a great day, loved one. What a day that's going to be. And listen, I'll tell you something. It's almost dawn, isn't it? Yes. It's almost time. The light of the world is coming. And now he says something. Look carefully. He says, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, plural. Okay, that's the churches down through the ages. Now, I want to finish this off a certain way. During this historical time, one of the darkest doctrines was birthed in the Roman Catholic Church. And I want you to listen to me. I'm not beating up people. I'm talking about a false doctrine, okay? That's important. You know, I defend the Word of God, and every Christian should defend the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. So during this time here, something happened. Let me give you a parable of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 33, he says, another parable Jesus spake unto them. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Leaven is yeast, isn't it? Okay, and here it comes, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, or that fine flour, until it was all leavened. Now, if you study the offerings of God, you know the meal offering represents our Lord. He's the bread of life. The fine flour represents the Word of God, okay? Now, but the woman did something. She took that leaven, and leaven is always a symbol of sin and corruption, okay? She placed it into the Word of God, and oh, how that leaven grew. So leaven, these false doctrines, they were corrupting the great freedom and the great truths found in the Word of God and with the Son of God. Now, remember, this woman Jezebel in the northern kingdom, remember with Ahab, remember what she did. She replaced the worship of God in the northern kingdom of Israel with the worship of Baal. Jesus said, this woman that's in the church of Thyatira, her description, she's just like Jezebel of old. So what is Jezebel, that doctrine, what was it trying to do now? She wanted to replace, if you will, she wanted to replace the worship of Jesus with a false doctrine. And I'm talking about doctrine now. Listen, who is the most prominent figure in Roman Catholicism? It's a woman. It's a woman. Blessed is she among women. Amen? Among women, not above women, but among women. Boy, I mean, she should be honored because she bore our Lord. Amen? Amen. But loved one, listen, it was during this time now, historically, during this time, the dark ages, the Middle Ages, that the Church of Rome, what did they do? They exalted a woman to the status of a female deity. Now, through whom intercession must be made. If you're going to go to God, you go through her to get to God, and that her favor, without her favor, you cannot even be saved. You know why? She's a co-redeemer. Now, I'm going to say something to you. Listen carefully. I'm not beating up people. I'm beating up a doctrine. Okay. The Bible does not contain the smallest, I mean, there is not any passages that instruct any believer in any book, in any word, to worship a woman, to worship Mary at all. There is not one prayer addressed to Mary in the Bible, and yet there are millions and millions of prayers addressed to her around the world every day. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They died for the truth. The Protestants, the Reformation. And love, you can't get to God through a person, a woman, a saint. Do you understand me? You can't get to God that way. There is only one way. Indulgences, right? Indulgences? I'm sorry. I'm going to be bad next Sunday. No, there is only, you can only get to God one way. There's only one way for any person in any generation to approach God. And there is absolutely no other way. You go right to the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you what to do. Amen? Okay, listen. 1 Timothy 2:4, it says that God, who desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he says this. Paul says, for there is one God. There is one mediator, only one, not two, not a saint, not anybody else. One mediator between God and men, meaning humanity. The man, not a woman, not a Mary, not a saint, not an image, not a pope. You hear me? Okay, he says, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, his deity, his humanity. He is fully God. He's fully man. He's in heaven for us right now. Amen? Now, he says, who gave himself a ransom for us all. In other words, he took our place. He gave his life for our lives. And it says, and that word all is important. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all, everybody on earth, every person. But it must be received. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It must be received. So there's no middleman. I mean, listen, the only mediator, the only middleman is our great high priest. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the Savior of the world. And the only thing that keeps a person, the only thing that keeps anyone from being saved. Thank you, Lord. It's not their sin. It's their unbelief in the finished work of Christ. That's it. Do you understand? That's it. Loved one, that is it. But today, the official teaching, still, and I say this, this is the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church right now. And they teach this, that salvation is not by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Here's what they say. You must have good works. You must observe the rituals of Roman Catholicism, especially the Eucharist, in order to be saved. Loved one, listen to me. Works do not save you. There's not one work that you can do, that anyone can do to be saved, except believe in your heart. That totally contradicts the living Word of God. What did Paul tell the Philippian jailer in Acts, 16:31? You remember the jailer said, oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, you have to go to class. You have to do the rosary. I'm not being critical. I'm sorry. I know. Listen, my mother was a Catholic. Come on. Do you understand? No. He says one thing. He says, you want to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Boy, that is it, loved one. Listen, salvation is not and never has been dependent on a human priest. It has never been dependent upon a woman. It has never been dependent upon a beautiful, beautiful woman called Mary. It has never been dependent upon any saint of God or a pastor or the Pope. Never at all. Do you know that if I said that back then, I would be burned at the stake? But they'd torture me first. I'd be burned at the stake. Don't ever take that for granted. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is the only way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through or by me. Amen? There's not any other name given to man under heaven by which they must be saved. Acts 4:12. His name is Jesus Christ. It is the greatest name. It is the highest name. There's no greater name in the universe than Jesus. Amen? Amen? And you must know, learn the word of God. Listen, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Amen? He's the captain. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to always remember that. And we need to know the word of God. We need to know what our forefathers, the people, paid dearly for what we have right now. For what we have. Never take it for granted. Never do that. I challenge you, go back and study church history. Go back and see what the early Christians, we've already learned, the persecuted church, millions of believers, they died. Look what happened under Nero. They would crucify Christians and tar them and then light them on fire at night so he could light up Nero's garden while they had feasts and so forth. Fed to wild beasts because they would not give Caesar a pinch and say, Caesar's Lord. But they knew that Jesus Christ was Lord. And they paid the price for you and for me. Never forget that. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the saints, your sheep that have gone before us. Those of long ago who paid the price, who trusted you no matter what, who paid the price with their life because they love you. Let this generation rise up and love you, Jesus, our Lord, like they did. They gave it all, and so should we. And maybe this morning, Father, as I'm praying, there's someone here. They've never, ever, ever asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. Oh, they might be a Baptist or a Calvary Chapelite, a Catholic, and all those words, but that can't save a person. But Jesus can. So as our heads are bowed, no one looking around, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you can do it right now. You say, Bill, what do I do? You just lift your hand up and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. Lift it high where I can see. Put it right back down. If the Lord is knocking on your heart, please don't violate that knocking. Just let the Lord in. Last call. Anyone else before we close in prayer? Father, I see no other hands. Those that lift your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. And those who are, of course, listening live, if you're lifting your hand, you pray this prayer with us as well. Say, Father, today, I heard the truth, and I want the truth. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that can save me. Water doesn't save me. Pastors don't save me. Popes don't save me. But Jesus saves me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the people of God say, Amen. Amen. God is good.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation, and we invite you to tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.